Once again, I'm so happy that you could join me today for this episode of Mostly Folk. I have another special guest in an interview that I recorded at WIOX Community Radio. And this is on my program there, The Catskills Cafe, which airs every Sunday at 2 p.m. My guest is James Kahn. And I'm going to play that interview for you exactly as it was recorded. James Kahn may be better known as the novelist and as the Emmy-nominated writer, producer of TV's Star Trek and Xena, Warrior Princess. His incredible varied career in the entertainment industry began when he was hired as an ER doctor to advise Steven Spielberg on the set of E.T. However, he's also a prolific songwriter whose seventh album has just been released. And we're going to talk about that album and play a single that was released from the album and has a specific cause. The album is concerned about the environment and what's happening to it. So we're going to play a track from that album, and we're going to be speaking with James Kahn. I'm Artie Martello, and welcome to Mostly Folk.
My brother was a sailor, lost on the water. I buried his memory to lighten the pain, though he often did regale me with stories of the water, of mermaids and sea sprites on the thunder in Maine. We're all cast on the waters, the long night and day. So you sons and your daughters, you must find your own way. I've joined the Army Corps, close quarters, shared water. In our hearts, we companions did march to drum rolls. But my brothers filled a fire, now I'm cast on the water. It was like walking in a wire or a bed of hot coals. I was cast on the waters all the night and the day. Tell your sons and your daughters you must find your own way. When AWOL changed my name, I felt cast on the water. Joined a church, tried to pray, set adrift come what may. Odds and ends such and such left me cast on the water. Got a job, wasn't much, it felt late in the day. Small boat, cast myself on the water, dearly wished to find mermaids in the deepening brine. But the sail it did not fill, I was dead in the water, and I longed for my brother to show me a sign. Cast on the waters, sure the answers there lay. All your sons and your daughters, you must find your own way. I searched the horizon, far off on the water. Not a thing to cast eyes on, but the day as it died. When I thought I saw a Selkie call to me on the water, I asked her if my brother had made her his bride. I told her I was lost, oh so lost on the water. She beckoned me down to her palace below, where she lived with me brother cast under the water. Then we all three embraced in the watery glow. Somehow I sailed away, cast about on the water, but they guided me home as I held them inside. Now I hold my spirits near when I'm lost on the water, deep and dear as the water where my brother abides. Cast on the waters all the night and the day. I miss him so bad, but I found me a way. Salt water wash the salt sorrows away, and your sisters and brothers find peace if you may.
From his new album By the Rising of the Sea, that was James Caan with Cast on the Water. And as I said, we have James on the line with us today. And I'm so excited because this guy, we're going to talk about all the things that he's done. In any event, I'm so happy to have James Caan with me today here on the Catskills Cafe. Why don't we, just by way of introduction, let folks know about your background, how you grew up, where you grew up, and how you got involved in, oh gosh, so many things. Let's start with your early life.
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me on. And it is, when I look back on it, an awful lot of stuff I've crammed into this life so far. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, just a regular suburban kid. But maybe it was a little different for me from a lot of people as I started writing when I was like 7 or 8 years old. I've always thought of myself as a storyteller. And I was a huge comic book fan. I used to read, in addition to Batman and Superman, I was a big fan of Tales from the Crypt and Amazing Stories and all those. So I would read them, but I would always think that there was some plot twist that they had missed or that I could do better. So I would rewrite the story in the comic book and buy a little spiral notebook and change the ending or add little pieces to it. That was my introduction to it. From there, I was also very interested in the sciences and ended up going to medical school. And I was initially thinking of being an internist. I did my internship in internal medicine. But emergency medicine was just a brand new emerging specialty when I was doing that. And that seemed like really cool to me for a number of reasons. It was very commando kind of medicine and very wizard-like. People would be brought in dead and you could pull them back from death. That seemed incredibly exciting to me. But the other aspect that was more practical was that if you work emergency rooms, you can schedule yourself on or off whenever you want to. You're not at the beck and call of the call schedule or hospitals. So I could schedule myself on four 12 or 16-hour shifts in a week and then take a couple weeks off to write or play music or do whatever I wanted.
That's amazing. I never knew that you could do that as an ER doctor. Is it only ER doctors that can do?
Pretty much. There's a new specialty that's arisen in recent years called hospitalists.
Right,
and they can do it too. Hospitalists are like professional interns. They work in the hospital and take care of all the doctors' patients that have problems arise in the hospital over the course of 24 hours. But hospitalists can also, similar to ER docs, schedule themselves to be on for a 12 or a 24-hour shift a couple of days in a row and then take a week off.
That's interesting, because that's exactly what we have here in the small community that we live in. Mm-hmm. We have a hospitalist. We don't have any full-time physicians here.
The healthcare system in our country needs to be so badly changed, and just one of a million changes that needs to happen is the doctors need to be re-incentivized to go into primary care. Because right now, the only money, if you want to be a doctor, is in specialty care, being a cardiologist or a surgeon, a neurologist. And the primary care docs, who really are the workhorses of taking care of people, are really underpaid and underappreciated.
So, that's amazing.
I worked ERs for about 15 years or so. And then when I moved to Santa Barbara, I semi-retired and have been just working urgent care centers and primary care for the last 15 years or so. And then I actually fully retired at the beginning of the lockdown in March of 2020.
Oh, good. Good for you. And your father was a doctor also. Is that what inspired you to be a doctor?
Yeah, actually, probably to a certain extent, although growing up when people would ask, you know, are you going to be a doctor like your daddy? It's like the last thing I ever wanted to be. Until very late in my college career. But he was the local primary care doc where we lived, and his office was in our home, actually, in the downstairs of our home. So I grew up with him working late into the night in our home and going out on house calls and being called to the hospital. And it was like, with a wife, I just did not want to have.
Yeah. And you also say in your biography that the emergency room at USC LA County Emergency Room was one of the, you said, quote, biggest, baddest ERs in the country. And on a busy day, close to 1,000 patients passed through those doors.
It was insane. It was really a trial by fire. And we had, at any given time, usually the Army had one of their battlefield surgeons being trained there, because it was the closest to battlefield conditions training you could get before actually going into a war. So it was 1,000 patients a day. But, you know, honestly, most of those weren't actual emergencies. There were people who showed up in the ER because they didn't have doctors. Most of them were minor things, sore throats and broken bones and sprains.
Right.
But there are also a ton of real major city emergencies, gang fights and car crashes and overdoses and all that.
You've always wanted to be a writer. You said that as a kid you wanted to be a writer too. And then one day you get a call from a lady named Kathleen Kennedy. And she called the front desk of the ER to ask if anyone there could help her figure out how to resuscitate an alien in a movie she was producing. Tell me about this, because this is absolutely incredible.
It was amazing. And it's amazing that the desk clerk who got the call didn't just hang up and think it was a prank call, but she passed it on to one of the docs I worked with who brought me in on it, because he knew my love of writing in the movies. And they came down, Kathleen Kennedy and Melissa Matheson, who had written E.T., came down to the ER, and we gave them a demonstration of how he would do it, and they loved it. A bunch of doctors and nurses from our ER went down to the set of E.T. while they were filming that week of shots where E.T. was dying and died. And they dressed us up in hazmat suits, and we were all the doctors trying to bring it back to life. I got to pump on the little guy's chest. And we also were, except for the dialogue between the main characters, we did all the dialogue in that scene, as well as being the extras. He asked us just to shout out what we would do if we were actually taking care of a real cardiac arrest. So we, you know, just pretended E.T. was a real patient and shouted out what we would be shouting out and calling for whatever drugs we thought would be necessary, as if we knew what drugs would be necessary for an alien. That's the movie.
So, in effect, it was you who was responsible for bringing E.T. back to life.
Yeah, we tried anyway. I think E.T. was his own best doctor in that movie, but yeah, we gave it our best shot.
And things went on from there, your association with this project and getting to meet Steven Spielberg. And he assigned you to writing the novelization of other movies he was doing. Now, this is amazing.
Yeah. It was. I can't believe how much nerve I had to do this. But while I got to meet him, and he seemed like a great guy, and I had just published my own first science fiction novel at that point. It's called World Enough in Time. So I cornered him and gave him a copy of it. But it was a real book. It was published by Del Rey, and said, "I'm sure this must happen to you all the time, but would you consider reading this and making a movie out of it?" What nerve. He was very gracious and said he'd put it on his shelf and get to it when he had time. And I figured that meant never. But the next day, one of the PAs ran up and said, "Mr. Spielberg wants to see you right away." So I went in, and he said, "Well, I read a chapter," and I said, "and I liked it." I said, "You know, great. Do you want to make the movie?" And he said, "No." But he was in a time crunch because they were behind the gun with Poltergeist. They had wrapped Poltergeist, and it was coming out soon, and they still hadn't gotten anyone to write the novelization. So if I could promise to write the novelization of Poltergeist in 1 month, then I could have the job.
And you did.
And so I said I could do it, even though I wasn't even quite sure what a novelization was at that point. Plus, I was all scheduled to work in the ER for the next month. I got all my friends to take my shifts in the ER, and I sat in his office at MGM for a month and wrote from 9 in the morning to 9 or so at night and got it done.
My goodness, that is absolutely amazing. And then, of course, you went on after that to novelize more films.
Yeah, that led to, then shortly after that, George Lucas asked his friend Spielberg if he had any recommendations for a good novelizer, so I got the gig for Return of the Jedi. I did that, and then that led to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and The Goonies.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. When did you actually start writing songs? Was it in between or after all of this?
Now, I hadn't actually written any songs very much, at least at this point. I'd always loved folk music. I was a product of what one DJ Wag called the great folk music scare of the 60s. And I grew up with the Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the Limelighters, and Wade Axton, and Dave Van Ronk. So I loved listening to and playing that music. And then in college, I had a rock and roll band for a while, Lord Kelvin and the Absolute Zeros. And I didn't start writing until I started having kids, and I wrote them lullabies. I have three kids, and each one, when they were born, I would write them a lullaby and sing them to sleep with it, as well as singing other songs to them. And then I would write them songs for their birthdays. And then that got me into the writing of, and they were all sort of Americana folk music kinds of songs. So I got into it at that point, and that was, gosh, my daughter's almost 40, so that's 40 years ago now.
Your latest album, how many albums do you have? You have six or seven?
Six or seven.
Okay.
All Americana. One of them is, I think seven, but one of them is basically a compilation of songs from the others without my voice. It's sort of the karaoke versions.
Okay. This latest album, By the Horizon of the Sea, when I first heard it, I thought, wow, this sounds like somebody from Great Britain or Scotland or what have you, because it says a sea shanty type of album, I guess the best way of describing it. But the harmonies and the lyrics, the concept of the album is so incredible. Talk a bit about the concept, and then let's play the title track from the album.
Okay.
And after you talk about it, we're going to play a number of songs from the album. I hope to play a lot of them, as a matter of fact. But let's talk about the concept of the album.
Okay, it started out, I had actually just finished doing an album with my producer, David West, who's a great longtime folky. He was one of the founders of the Cache Valley Drifters, and he played with Kate Wolf for a long time, and he's toured with Chris Hillman. But now he's settled down and has his own music studio, so he's been producing my albums. And we were just talking one day, and he said, "The sea shanties are starting to become popular on TikTok. Why don't you do a shanty about saving the whales?" He's a huge whale aficionado. And I said, "Yeah, save the whales instead of harpooning them." And I've always been a huge fan of sea shanties. We used to, my wife Jill never wanted to have a dishwasher. She wanted our kids to wash dishes. So we used to stand at the sink washing dishes together and singing sea shanties. I don't know. I don't know why I've always been in love with them, but somehow, maybe in a past life, I was an Irish sailor. I don't know. I wrote the whale song in the style and the genre of a shanty, and we both liked it so well. I thought, let's do a whole album of shanties about contemporary kind of environmental crises. Here's one about a species die off, but the huge one, the main one, is climate change. So let's focus on shanties about climate change, because shanties traditionally were work songs that sailors sang to work by, but also to confront the elements and storms at sea and things that they had to deal with existentially. And there are all these weather and environmental things that we have to deal with existentially, resulting from climate change and global warming and the ways in which that causes drought, and droughts cause famine, and famine causes refugee and immigrants problems. And there's a whole host of downriver ramifications of that. So I decided to write a whole album of shanties covering all those various problems.
We're going to get back to the song No More a Whalin', but before we do that, because I want to talk a lot about that particular song and the project that is involved with that song. But let's play the title track from the album The Rising of the Sea. Here's James Caan with The Rising of the Sea.
The rising of the seas, by the rising of the seas, the day may yet be lost, and the empty world tossed on the rising seas. The temperature is rising, lads, degree by degree. Woe betide us, come the rising sea. Come terrible migrations and a world of refugees, all adrift on the rising sea. The rising of the seas, by the rising of the seas, the day may yet be lost, and the empty world tossed on the rising sea. The icebergs all are calving, bear cubs drifting on the floes, well away on the rising sea. And the landfalls are a-shrinking down to where nobody knows, sinking low on the rising sea. The rising of the seas, by the rising of the seas, the day may yet be lost, and the empty world tossed on the rising seas. Come hurricanes and river floods and ice storms, know it well, by the rising of the sea. And the furnace burning fuel sounds like the tolling of the bell of the rising sea. And the droughts of withered flowers that are twisting in the breeze, far away from the rising seas. In the wildfires we are losing all the forests for the trees, to the winds of the rising seas. And the birds without direction on the sere and arid plains, water gone to the rising seas. Nor any drop to drink in the pools of dirty acid rain, washing down to the rising sea. The rising of the seas, by the rising of the seas, the day may yet be lost, and the empty world tossed on the rising seas. And the ghosts of all our memories may spill o'er the ocean floor, nethermost to the rising sea. With the shipwrecks of our grand designs and all that came before, drowned away in the rising seas. The rising of the seas, by the rising of the seas, the day may yet be lost, and the empty world tossed on the rising seas. Yet may we mark this vision well and evermore take heed from the call of the rising seas.
and turn around our foundering ship by every word and deed, in the name of the rising sea. The rising of the seas, by the rising of the seas, the day may yet be lost, and the empty world tossed on the rising seas. On the rising of the seas, by the rising of the seas, the day may yet be lost, and the empty world tossed on the rising seas.
James Caan from his new album, By the Rising of the Sea, and that was the title track. And I do want to encourage folks who love that song to check it out on YouTube. There is a great video of it. James, are the people that are singing with you on the video the same people who recorded?
All except one. One of the people on the video is Tom Ball, and he replaced one of the voices on the audio, which was Glenn Phillips.
Okay. Again, it's neat to see the video and listen to the music. By the way, James's website is thatjamescaan.com. So it's JamesKahn.com. Just stick a that in front of James's name.
And, to distinguish me from the other James Caan.
Say that again?
To distinguish me from the other James Caan.
Yeah, is there another James Caan? Yeah, I know.
Well, there's the actor, but his name is spelled differently.
Yeah, his name is spelled differently. That's right. In any event, I think I've got the more talented James too. But again, this album is just filled with so many great songs, and I definitely want to get to a lot of them. But to go on, when you were still high school or college, you wrote a story, you published a story for Playboy magazine, your
yeah.
first short story while you were still in college.
Yeah, and that was an accident, actually. I wrote a short story that I entered in a college short story contest, and it took second place. But unbeknownst to me, one of the judges thought it would be good for Playboy. And he knew the editor of Playboy, so he sent it in without my knowledge. And the first thing I knew about it was I got a check from Playboy magazine buying the story.
Uh-huh.
And that was pretty thrilling.
That's pretty funny. Amazing that happened, and you just went on to write all of these things. And even after you did the novelizations for Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom, The Goonies, Poltergeist 2, you then got into television and were writing for St. Elsewhere, which was one of my favorite shows years ago.
I really wanted to write movies initially, and I wrote a feature film script based on my experiences at LA County Emergency Room, and it got a lot of good response. It got me an agent, and it got me meetings with various producers, but it never got bought. But what it did get was meetings with a lot of TV show producers, and I was a little let down initially, but my agent said the feature film business is a hobby, but television is a career. So if you want to be a regular writer and get regularly paid for it, put your effort into TV. So I did. I took a TV job, which was a sitcom called E, 30-minute sitcom, a Norman Lear show. It only lasted for a year, but I really cut my teeth on how to write for television during that show. So Elliot Gould is a comedy emergency room doctor. And that just, I followed that pony wherever it led. That got me to increasing jobs in television until I eventually was a writer-producer for some major shows.
And you created a character named Ace the Orderly that was played by George Clooney.
Yeah, that show.
Let's continue on with the album, but before we do, let's talk about the song No More Wailing, which you just did release on a video, which is another great video for folks.
Yeah.
There's two versions of that video, by the way, for people who are interested in listening to it. There's a version that just shows the cover of By the Rising of the Sea, but there's a second version that actually shows the whales and follows follows the story with James singing and the gal who plays that drum, what the heck's her name?
The Baran is.
Yeah, really neat. Talk about this and the Welling project.
Yeah, the drum actually we put in, I wanted it to sound like the whale's heartbeat. So it was a background to that. I think I mentioned I live in Santa Barbara, and whale watching in Wales are a big thing in this area of the country. Like many people, always loved whales and been baffled why they're still being hunted when, you know, no one needs them for food anymore and no one needs them for oil anymore or for energy. So I felt moved to write something like that. And I actually was able to connect with and partner with the Save the Whales Foundation. And so they put it on their site. And now anybody who donates to Save the Whales, it's a tax-free donation. If they just write my name in the notes section of the donation, they'll get a free download of the whole album.
That is so cool. So anybody that is interested in doing that, it's a great cause. And the song tells you a little bit about this story.
Blow now, you handsome whales. Be gone neath your ocean swells, and blow there, ye mighty whales. Go deep neath your ocean veils. We hunted them whales a long time, massacred by the score. Oh, for oil and bloody riches, by God, we still came back for more. Till the whale was nearly wiped out like the buffalo on the plain, yet they remain. Blow now, ye handsome whale, begone neath your ocean swells, and blow there, ye mighty whales, go deep neath your ocean veils. The whale is the water master of all she surveys, then she dives to the belly of the world and keeps her counsel well aways. She's the heavy heart of the ocean and the soul of the very deep may long she keep. Blow now, ye handsome whales, begone neath your ocean swells, and blow there, ye mighty whales, go deep neath your ocean veils. We never stop to listen to the beauty of their tune. We were so wrapped up in the romance of the sail and the harpoon, at the aching in their music only fell upon deaf ears was a song of tears. Blow now, ye handsome whales, begone neath your ocean swells, and blow there, ye mighty whales, go deep your ocean veils. Blow now, ye handsome whales, begone neath your ocean swells, and blow there, ye mighty whales, go deep neath your ocean veils. So blow now, ye handsome whales, and begone your ocean swells, and blow there, ye mighty whale, go deep with your ocean bales.
No More Whaling, James Caan. And as James mentioned, it's a great cause. That how would people, if they wanted to donate, once again, James, tell them how to do that.
Yes, it's I believe it's just savethewhales.org. Might be savethewhalesca.org. I'm not sure which.
Sure, if they Google it, they'll be able to find it if they Google Save the Whales.
And just go to the donation page and make a donation, and in the notes box, write my name, James Caan, and you'll get a link to a free download from the album.
There you go.
This song, like all the songs in the album, are very personal to me. I was just listening to it again as you played it now, and it follows my own emotional journey. There's a line about, we were so wrapped up in the romance of the sail and the harpoon. And that was certainly true of me growing up. I loved whaling songs and the adventure and romance of whaling and Moby Dick and all that. And it was only as I grew into understanding what it means today that I realized. Yeah. And the end of the song, which is full of whale song, was inspired by a long ago Judy Collins song that I loved called Farewell to Tarwafi.
Oh.
Where she did the same thing. She added whale song. It was, again, another whaling song about a sailor going on his first whale hunt to the coast of Greenland.
I'm speaking with James Kahn, whose new album is titled By the Rising of the Sea. And it's just a great album of sea shanties, I guess you would call them. But of course, James lends his own special brand of words to the songs on the album. And the music is just fantastic. How did you assemble the musicians that played?
It was pretty minimalist in terms of musicians. The vocals, the core of the vocals were done by me and David West, who I mentioned earlier as the producer. And then we have a couple friends in town who we've sung with before, so we use them. In terms of the backup instrumentals, there's an accordion on a couple by a great musician in town here, Brian Mann, who's worked with a lot of different people over the years. Rebecca Chu, there are a few people in town who played the baron, and Rebecca Chu was a great one. There's a new one that the musician we discovered for another one of the songs in the album, The Vast Infinity, which is a much more of an upbeat song than some of them. And I heard a percussive element to it in my mind. And I asked Dave if he knew any people who played the spoons in town. And he said, no, but I'll do you one better. He knew someone who played the bones. So this is a woman who plays actual cow rib bones from the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland.
Huh.
And they're played like spoons.
Set sail of a windy morn, felt kind of like being born, with a lively life unrolling in front of me. We was born into a time short of reason, that's why I'm staying true to that vast infinity. So rise, children, rise, won't you rise to the very day, and never you mind the size of the hell gets in your way. Just say your goodbyes for the final come what may. I've faced many a stormy sea, nearly got the best of me for all the damage laid by all them damaged souls. But I fear little ever I done save the soul of any one, so I just give myself to that vast infinity. Now rise, children, rise, won't you rise to the very day, and never you mind the size of the hell gets in your way. And save your goodbyes for the final come what may. This old world's a maelstrom, headed straight for kingdom come, though I wish 'twere never so, we'd all agree. But do you any tender deed, may it swallow up all of the greed and deliver us to that vast infinity. Oh, rise, children, rise, won't you rise to the very day, and never you mind the size of the hell gets in the way. Just save your goodbyes for the final come what may. So I do what little I know, come all the winds that blow, to bring a measure of peace to the refugee. Was not meant for the rolling main to roil with so much pain, so just hold fast to that vast infinity. Oh, rise, children, rise, won't you rise to the very day, and never you mind the size of the hell gets in the way. Just save your goodbyes for the final come what may. And rise, children, rise, won't you rise to the very day, and never you mind the size of the hell gets in your way. Just save your goodbyes for the final cobweb maze.
I actually did the finger picking in that one. You're asking about the musical backup.
Yeah.
I tend to do most of the sort of rhythm kinds of guitar. And David West is a multi-instrumentalist. He did the dulcimer and Cast on the Water that you did earlier. He does all kinds of guitar and bass and slide guitar. So he filled in most of what we needed instrumentally on this album.
And you did the finger clicking?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I can't even do that. I'm too arthritic to do that. But it sounds like an instrument. You did it so well. And once again, we're speaking with James Kahn. One of my favorite songs on this album is Oh, the Ocean Rolls. I've played it so many times. Anything you want to say about this before I play it?
Just that I talked about how the refugee crisis being one of the ramifications of climate change. And so this is just a song I wanted to do about it. And there's so many refugees from so many different parts of the world. I ended up choosing Cuban refugees partly because for language reasons, just that people from the Caribbean could speak English, and I could honestly justify to myself a song in the Irish kind of genre dealing with that. Because the song teller, the singer in this song, goes with his lover who's from Cuba, but he himself is Jamaican. It's just about that. The refugee crisis is, you hear about thousands and thousands of refugees, and it reminded me of this quote from, I think, either Jack Warner or Louis B. Meyer a long time ago, that thousands of deaths is a statistic, but one death is a tragedy. Mm. So I wanted to bring the refugee problem down to individual stories about individual people and the effect this has on actual human beings instead of just a boatload of refugees washed up on shore. So that was my purpose in doing this. Also, by the way, talking about the instrumental backup, because of the Cuban element, David West played a trace on it, which is a Cuban stringed instrument, which made it sound a little bit not like the other traditional Irish shanties that I'd done on the album, but made it more authentic to the idiom of Cuba.
My name, it is nothing. I'm from Runaway Bay. Oh, the ocean rolls. But the girl that I love lived in old Camagüey. And she wanted the ocean to take her away. So we stole us a boat near Havana town. Oh, the ocean rolls. Then we made out to sea in the chilly sundown. As the ocean will roll, sir, and some yet may drown. Oh, the ocean, may the ocean roll. The ocean, may the ocean roll. Was 10 of us set out for freedom that night. Oh, the ocean rolls. With me and Selena, the tide it was right. And the ocean rolled out in the dark starry light. We set out our course for the mighty Gulf Stream. Oh, the ocean rolls. We sailed on a prayer and a daring great scheme. But the ocean may roll over pilgrims that dream. Oh, the ocean, may the ocean roll. The ocean, may the ocean roll. Our motor she chugged till a fine break of day. Oh, the ocean rolls. Was an engine from a junked 59 Chevrolet. And the ocean rolled on as the red sky turned gray. A great storm befell us, a nor'easterly. Oh, the ocean rolls. Little Pablo was tossed into the turbulent sea. ocean rolls over the brave refugee. Well, the storm it did clear, but the old Chevy died. Oh, the ocean rolls. Poor Pablo's mother slipped over the side to look after her child far below in the tide. Oh, the ocean, may the ocean roll, the ocean, may the ocean roll. That evening old Joseph died quiet of thirst. Oh, the ocean rolls. But to drink straight sea water, by God, that's the worst. And the ocean does roll upon we who are cursed. A cigarette boat found us just floating out there. Oh, the ocean rolls. Selena, she joined them on the Buccaneers' dare. And the ocean, it rolls like a dark, unheard prayer. And the smugglers took off with a mocking beware. Oh, the ocean rolls. Now Selena, she's gone to the bold pirate's land. And the ocean rolls on without ever a care. Oh, the ocean, may the ocean roll. The ocean, may the ocean roll. At last we found fortune, caught a good western blow. Oh, the ocean rolls. For landfall we sighted on fair Key Largo. And the Coast Guard ship rolled, took our boat well in tow. Asylum I begged them, sanctuary I prayed. Oh, the ocean rolls. But was only detainee camp Miami-Dade. And the ocean rolls over the promises made. Some nights I still dream of the old ocean roll. Oh, the ocean rolls. Well, the immigrant life takes a terrible toll. And the ocean rolls over my disconsolate soul. Oh, the ocean, may the ocean roll, the ocean. May the ocean roll, the ocean. May the ocean roll, the ocean. May the ocean roll.
Once again, James Caan from his brand new album, By the Rising of the Sea, with Oh, the Ocean Rolls. Again, another great environmental song. And this whole album is just chock full of great music and great harmonies. And goodness gracious.
One of the backup harmonies there was a great folk singer here in town named Douglas Clegg.
Yes.
And he's got an album of his own too, Doug Clegg.
Yeah, I see that. Wait, what his... But he has a, how do you say, wee Dougie Clegg. According to...
a little bit of a joke between us.
Okay, yeah, so the album...
Because he's a very tall guy.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nobody's ever called me tall, and I'm small.
In fact, if you look at the back cover of the CD, there's
four
of us standing on the beach
with
our backs to the camera, and Doug is the guy on the far right.
He's also on the video of By the Rising of the Sea. Okay. Yeah. Oh, what a great album. Hey, don't go anywhere.
I was struck by one of the lines of that song. I just have to tell you this detail about the engine on the boat being from a junked 59 Chevrolet. In Havana, 57 to 59 Chevys are still in widespread use. And I was told by someone who lives there that finally when the car itself just is no longer possible to drive, they'll often take the engine out and put it on boats and use it as boat engines.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I'm here with James Kahn. I'm not physically here, but James is on the telephone. And as I said, this guy has one of the most interesting backgrounds of any folk singer, Americana singer, whatever you want to call that genre. In this particular case, it's that sea shanty singer. But James is... this isn't his first album. He's had many other albums. Man Walks Into a Bar is one of them. Waterline. And The 12th Elf is a kid's album for kids' songs. Tell me about that one. I don't have the music, but I'd like to hear about it.
When my kids were growing up, we played music for them all the time. And a lot of times, kids' music, you get sick of pretty quickly. It's pretty simplistic. So I always wanted music that I could play for my kids that I would enjoy listening to as well. So I made this album. It started with using the songs that I had written for their lullabies and their birthday songs. So that was five or six songs there. And then I wrote a handful of other songs, basically in the folk kind of genre sound that I enjoy listening to as well as writing and playing, and put them together in an album.
And something we didn't mention before, but after your initial experiences writing the novelizations of Indiana Jones, The Goonies, Poltergeist, you, for 20 years, you wrote and eventually produced a lot of TV shows. And you were co-executive producer on Melrose Place. Supervising producer on Star Trek Voyager. And you say you think Xena Warrior Princess script gave you the most credibility with your kids. And you also wrote for All My Children the last year that it aired. That's amazing that you've done all this, and not only that, but has an incredible amount of great music out there. The thing that I like most about speaking with any artist whose work I really enjoy is that it gives me the opportunity to play more of their songs. And on a normal program, I can't just exclusively play James Kahn, but while I'm interviewing James Kahn, I certainly can. Once again, I'm speaking with James Kahn. His website is thatjameskahn.com. Yeah, .com. And it's J-K-A-H-N, but in front of the James is a that. So thatjameskahn.com. There's lots and lots of information about James, his music, and so much there on his website. And you'll certainly enjoy it. And let me play. Look, can we play another tune here? How about something that strikes all of us, and that's in the COVID times? You want to talk about that? Or
it was something that really changed all of our lives, and it was the first year of it particularly, which was such a new experience, felt very chaotic. It felt like reality was turned on its head, and no one knew what to do or how to react to lockdowns and face masks and all these things. And there was all kinds of upheaval, not just COVID per se, but there was a lot of social unrest. So I thought a song about the year of 2020 was in order. And it was more of a rollicking, drunken sea shanty than some of the others were in the spirit of the time.
I remember 2020 so well, when the f***ing world ran out of luck and the hinges broke on the gates of hell. It was the year that COVID ran amok. Was a year of f***ing masks and lies and families broken, children's cries. You talk to your friends across a screen. You try to reach out, then another one dies. They died so fast, the body spilled from an old refrigeration truck. We never knew all the souls got killed in the year the f***er ran amok. Jobs and homes went down the drain. You saw naught but eyes and naught but pain. We sought redemption for our sins, but what we sought was all in vain. I remember 2020 so well, when the
modern world ran out of luck, and the hinges broke on the gates of hell, was the year that COVID ran amok. Era's uniform knees on citizen necks, and pillaging mobs and tweets and texts, I would not doubt to see a raving mad Tyrannosaurus Rex. I remember 2020 so well, when the f***ing world ran out of luck, and the hinges broke on the gates of hell, was the year that COVID ran amok. Was a year of f***ing floods and drought and fears and plagues and all about, was immigrants fled from f***ing wars to leave our futures grave in doubt. I remember 2020 so well, when the world ran out of luck, and the hinges broke on the gates of hell, was the year that COVID ran amok. Now the carbon tipping point has struck, while politicians spew the muck, species die in a dust bowl world, corporate greed don't give a f-. It's time to hie meself to sea, where the winds are fresh and the stars are free. I'll sail away on the bountiful waves, and the f***ing world may pay the fee. I remember 2020 so well, when the f***ing world ran out of luck, and the hinges broke on the gates of hell, was the year that COVID ran amok. I remember 2020 so well, when the f***ing world ran out of luck, and the hinges broke on the gates of hell, was the year that COVID ran amok. I remember 2020 so well, when the f***ing world ran out of luck, and the hinges broke on the gates of hell, was the year that COVID ran amok.
Oh boy, I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, so that's from James Khan's new album, By the Rising of the Sea, and that song, In the COVID Times. A couple of more things I want to ask you, James, and then I'll let you go. You recently produced your first feature film, The Bet. Tell me about that.
I had been trying to get a movie made in the background for many years, and a number of my scripts got optioned, a couple got sold, but none ever actually got made. And my wife, Jill, kept telling me, forget about Hollywood, just make your own damn movie. I got together with a friend, and we decided to form a nonprofit organization based on using the template of community theater, but instead of producing a local volunteer stage musical, we would do a feature film. So we did that, and basically it was an entirely volunteer cast and crew from around town. The head of each department, like lighting and sound and camera, they were individuals who were kind of Hollywood refugees like I was, living here but not really in the business anymore. And then everyone in their department was just volunteers. We got all the actors from Craigslist, got a local writer who was not a professional writer we had a local contest for submitting scripts, and we picked one, and I mentored the writer through many rewrites until it was a shootable script, and then we shot it, and it ended up winning Best Feature Film at the LA SEM Film Festival, which is a festival of films in which one of the chief movers of the film has to be a woman, either the writer, the director, or the producer, and we had all three. So that was my first produced film, and then I parted ways with the organization. They're still going on. They're making their second film now, but I felt like I wanted to move on back to my own stuff again instead of producing someone else's script.
Neat. And also, something I didn't mention, you have a number of science fiction books, the New World Trilogy, World Enough and Time, Time's Dark Laughter, Timefall, and all of these are more books that this amazing person has written. What more is there to say about James Khan? Have I missed anything, James, that you'd like?
Let me just talk briefly about my last book, which I published a couple years ago, called Metamorph, and that's about a piece of American history that really nobody knows about, the town of Matamoros, Mexico. It's right across the Rio Grande River from Brownsville, Texas. And in 1862, the North had blockaded all the southern ports, but by law, they were not allowed to blockade a foreign port. So the South basically shipped all of its cotton to Brownsville, Texas, and then ferried it across the river to Brownsville, and then to Matamoros. And then from Matamoros, it got exported around the world. And then arms and munitions got imported from around the world to Matamoros and then ferried across the river to Brownsville and then distributed through the South to fight the Civil War. So it was known as the backdoor of the Confederacy. And it was like Casablanca. It was full of Yankee and rebel spies and runaway slaves and Texas Rangers and this whole menagerie of interesting people. And in addition, Napoleon had just invaded Mexico. So it was also full of French foreign legionnaires. And it just seemed like a great setting for a story. So I wrote a novel about that. And then simultaneously, I wrote an album about it. Every song in the album is about one of the characters in the novel.
Sorry, we run out of time. I want to thank James Caan. I want to thank you. And see you next time on Mostly Folk.
Happy trails.